Blog Talk Radio.
Released in 2003 on their album, More Than You Think You Are. And I'd like to welcome everyone listening to a Team of Voices broadcast of Off the Rack. I'm your host, Raconteur. In case you're wondering, a Team of Voices is the name of our group on the allpoetry.com website, where you'll find the links to the poems that you'll hear on this podcast. And also be able to meet some of the amazing poets who are gracious enough to share their words. Feel free to join us on allpoetry.com. It's free to join. I hope you're ready, because now it's time to rack our brains.
I don't know what it is about that ending. Oh, okay, we got a couple of people on the phone that are up past their bedtime, so let's get things started right away and bring some people into the studio. I've got Pretty Bird on the line. She's working the magic behind the curtain. Thank you, Wizard of Oz.
Well, Pretty Bird's not on the line.
Oh,
but I am.
How you doing, sweet?
I'm doing good. So, hello, Kay and Stephen. How are you? Oh, there's Pretty Bird. She's back.
I am. Hello. That was fun.
Yeah. I was about ready to call. I'm worried.
Sweet soy.
Did I make anything good?
No, not at all.
It's hard to see yourself walk out of the room, so, you know. Anyway, we will say hello to Stephen and Kay as well.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, hello.
And we got Sky here, too.
Hello.
Hello.
So, it's a party of people in a time crunch because, you know, we got them. I, because of my mouth, I got everyone up past their bedtime so I could talk nasty. I'm sure the show still says PG-13 though, so we gotta walk that line and behave a little bit. But without further ado, tonight's topic we're talking about seize the day, and I don't know what particular thing made my mind go towards that, but you know, there's that line from Dead Poets Society, and Robin Williams, of course. The idea of just, you know, going out of our comfort zones and doing something that just, I guess, pure indulgence for ourselves and things like that. That's where my head was at when I asked for that. So we should have some fun and some interesting side conversations. Let's see what Sweet brought us. If you want to start, Sweet, or did you want to hang out a little bit? Let Sky start, because I know she's tanking.
I don't care. Like I said, I've got 40, so if Sky's got to go, that's fine.
I can stay for one or two, but, yeah, I do. I can't stay too long. But I would like to stay for one or
five. All right, so, Sky, you're on the board.
All right. Yeah, someone get Stephen off the desk while I'm reading.
Real quick, I just want to say for Sky, because everybody's in time crunch, I took mine out since Stephen dropped. So I'll just be listening in to give others a chance. Now you read, Sky.
Thank you. So I brought this before at a different show. I wrote it some time ago. I thought it was appropriate tonight, and I never explained what it really was about. I usually just read. I don't really explain. But your topic was seize the day. And this is a bit of spoken word, so I hope Pretty Bird enjoys it, because it's a different type of poetry. I know one she enjoys. But the piece was really written for I'm quite shy in real life. Imagine that. And when I was with my ex, before we were together, I did a really, really brave thing, and I kissed her first, and it was a big step because I'm very shy. And the only reason why I did it was because I really was listening to a radio show that morning, and it was talking about how one moment can change your life and how one moment of bravery can change the course of your life in a series of events. And so people that read this poem might not actually know it. It's actually quite personal to me, and never shared that, but I thought I would tonight, because it very much did change the course of my a lot of my life. So without further ado, I read it very fast, and I don't usually read it live, but I'm going to try to do that for you tonight. So here we go. It's called If I Were the Auctioneer of Letters by Sky Darkholm. If I were the auctioneer of lovers, I'd reach into the history of our ballad, scriptures written with the ink of heart's well. I'd speak to the fumbling hands and trembling lips when first I dared to kiss you. When my thoughts were split, thinking of a radio show I listened to earlier that morning, telling me, speaking to me, advising me, it only takes one moment to change your life. One second of bravery, one second to quiet the insecure thoughts that rattle like a pinball machine as the fingers of every person who ever told you a failure reach out and frantically press the side buttons of your heart till the noise in your head beats, vibrates down veins, every corridor that holds doors of yellow caution tape reminding you of the times they were right. But I knew you were worth the risk. If I were an auctioneer of lovers, I'd tell the audience, it isn't always perfect. There are lights that play upon keyboard chest like an overture that runs deep in the stomach with ache that only perhaps you can understand if you have ever said anything to someone you loved and immediately regretted it. Or if you've driven so quickly down over hills, back roads blanketed in darkness, a night windshield covered with rain, and it feels just for a moment you've lost a piece of yourself. But that is the thing about love. It's forgiving. It's soft and quiet. And just when you think the weight of the world might break upon its back, you find out how truly enduring it is. It does not apply conditions or vinegared ultimatums. It simply is. If I were an auctioneer of lovers, I'd speak quickly, tumbling like a tumbleweed in the midst of a beautiful tornado to Oz, to reflect the technicolor you have brought into my life, to impress upon eyes the beauty that is you. I'd share each coy smile and reflective fills that glint in deep hours of lighted sheets. I'd call upon them as they dare put a price tag on such things, knowing that there couldn't be a number infinite enough to label the tapestries of our story. If I were an auctioneer of lovers, which I am not, I'd never run out of breath describing all the ways I love you. And home.
Wow, this is gorgeous, Scotty. I love the comparisons that you bring. The first one, where you mentioned all the literary aspects and the musical aspects, but the overall idea of things that go on auction is really an intriguing thought. Because, crazy things that wind up on auction sites and whatnot, and there's this unspoken idea that they've all been authenticated and they're all true and real. So when you hear about this rare piece, from the Middle Ages or whatever, supposedly someone verified that and they're not just fucking out of their ass. So that adds another dimension to this as well. Because when someone puts something up for auction, you have to believe in what you're buying, because that whole expression of a pick and poke. I mean, you wrap so much into this, so many different thoughts of relationship and someone and that kiss that, oh yeah, that's a gorgeous moment as well. I really like this a lot. I can see personal notes in it. At least I could feel them, or it feels as though I do, and that's one thing that you do when you write. You draw us in very, very easily, I think, with the character, whatever definition talking about, you transport us. You're, I think, a brilliant writer, and this is a beautiful example of your work. Thank you for sharing that with us tonight, Scott. Let me get you some other comments.
Before we continue the comments, we have a caller, 959. May I ask who's calling?
Yeah, this is Blue.
Oh, hey, how are you?
I picked him up
before Sky read, so just so that you know. Continue, sorry to interrupt.
Okay. No, that's cool. Xylophonic is confusing everyone. He used to be Autumn, and now he's Xylophonic, and people don't recognize the change. So anyway, welcome to the show. Sweet, I'm giving you the first chance to comment on Sky's poem.
Yeah, I happen to love the poem. Thought it was gorgeous. I love the fact you play an auctioneer. I think you are an auctioneer of love. I think you write beautiful poetry about it. I think you do all kinds of beautiful things about it. You write gorgeous poems, which is always why I tell you need to write love letters about it. So this is just another one of them. And I think the bravery of kissing someone first takes a lot of guts, and hopefully that did change your life and that you do it over and over and over again.
Thank you, sweet.
Okay. Steven, can you comment for Sky?
Yeah. First off, Sky, I'm sorry that you didn't delete this again and bring it back so I get more points for commenting. It was the third time. I do remember this. I've heard this a few times, and I really like it. I like hearing you read it. It's one of my favorites that you've written, I think, because of the way it's written and the way it's read so quickly and so powerfully. Yeah, I love the imagery, and I like the message, too. This is just awesome.
Thank you, Stephen.
You're welcome.
And Pretty Bird, can you comment for Sky?
Oh, absolutely, I can. So I love this. I love this. I love this. I love this. Yeah, very different from other pieces that you did, and you probably did this better than any of the ones that I have, so is all I have to say. I'm not jealous. It's fine. But this is so beautiful. So it's already on three lists, including on my page, because I had to stick it in every nook and cranny because I love it that much. It is beautiful. It is there's this confessional way that you write this that has all of these observations in it that are everyday observations that, you know, one might overlook if they're not paying attention, even in their own you know, that run deep into stomach with an ache that only perhaps you can understand. Those little nuances that we all feel or have felt that you don't really notice until you do, and this kind of points them out so beautifully in the ending of this. If I were an auctioneer of lovers, which I am not, I'd never run out of breath describing all the ways I love you. And, you know, this is just beautiful, like across the board beautiful. I absolutely love it. And we have another caller. So area code 909, who may ask is calling. Might be nice if it clicks open. Sorry, couldn't hear you. Okay, try again. 909. Your name, please.
I'm Bella. Hi.
Oh, hey, Bella. I haven't heard you in so long. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
And I know that, Autumn, you are on break, yes?
Yes.
Okay. So where are we going next there, Rex?
Well, we can let Autumn comment before we put his piece up if he's also in a time crunch.
Sounds good.
And taking advantage of Sweet and keeping her here. And Stephen and Kay for that matter, but
so I'm commenting on Skies?
Yes.
Yes,
and then you're reading, you're on the board.
Okay. I wrote something. I'm gonna get back to it. Give me a second. I'm on my phone here, sorry.
You're good.
Oh my goodness. Here we go. Okay, this is what I wrote. I wrote, true with many layers that keep on becoming more pleasing to read and imagery to the eyes.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Sky.
That is lovely. And whenever you're ready, you're on the board.
Okay, let me get to my poem. A second. Okay, this one is called Up in the Air on the Wall. Let me get this thing bigger. Hold on a second. Okay. Q-tip mauve headlights blur along the ridge, windswept footless heights flying under the influence. Bridge, thermal capillary, desert airs, midnights, stepstones. Flights of rock wall stairs. Burnishing shins, shivering against hammock stitch soles, night lamp cast a halo of bastions crossed against goosebumps and dune coals. Lifeless, a voice fell, falling star, trachea, muscle, diaphragm. A fist clenching bottom. Inhale, breathless, kneeling. Collective Pottery Shards, and Black Earth's Autumn. Azimuth, Cobblestone Hill, Spectacles, and Shadows Reed. Swallowtail, Sandstone Window, all chapters open by the side of her bed. Last Flicker, Artisan Fountains, Climbing Mountains, Curving Light. Bookmark Corners, The Handwriting Rises Over Whirlwind Cyclones. And night after night, wobbling apparatus pieces fall off, fading from fullness bright. Darkness, a child's simplicity, unfailing obstacles fight. Clouds that walk on water flies, pushing the pace in clearing skies. Cathartic, frostbite, as feet touch brokenness, passing places. A pebble skip services, reflection lavender moons, goddess faces. End poem.
Wow. I like the way you're looking at this person in this poem. The metaphors you're using as descriptions are beautiful. The sandstone and skipping stones and the cadence of it. This is nice. Blue. It's really enjoyable. Let me get you some comments. Let's start with Sky, please.
Sky had to drop, because you know it's past her bedtime.
Okay. Pretty Bird, can you comment for Blue?
I absolutely can. This is a very powerful piece. The images in here are very stark, and they speak to the picture. Well, that picture breaks my heart, by the way. Lifeless, a voice fell, falling star, trachea, muscle, diaphragm, a fist, clenching bottom. That is, in the staccato way that you wrote that, it is very, almost like each phrase, it's like a little breath that as it exhales and like squeezes your stomach as you're gasping at the end. I mean, it just pulls you into that moment. And at the end, where you're cathartic, frostbite as feet, because you know what? Sometimes pain is the only thing that we feel. And when get to the point where at least part of that is numb, it almost feels like a blessing. Not that the pain is gone anywhere, but, you know, it's so familiar you don't notice it for a minute. And so I thought that you depicted those stark realities really, really well.
Thank you. And Pretty Bird, this was actually a Bella contest. So this was actually something that was taught by Bella. So there you go.
Well, that is awesome. Then I think we should find out what Bella thinks.
I agree.
He won gold, actually, in this one. It was past a year ago, I think. And the reason why he won the gold, it's not because of the wordings itself, but the how the word impacted me. You know, when I write poetry, I always put myself in the middle of it. And when I read another person's poetry, I try to incorporate what I feel with it so I can relate deeply. And what caught my attention really is the part when he was talking about the lifeless, the voice fell, falling star, trachea, muscle, diaphragm. This one with me at the time, it associated with the breathing. Breathing for me is life, and seizing it, no matter how much you want to hold on to it, will give you that kind of intense pain that no one can really explain other than the person who wrote it. And, you know, the second part is the azimuth, you know, and lately, oh no, just now, azimuth is like the projection, am I correct? I think it's how it travels from the north to the other part, I forgot. But you know, Blue always stunned me with his abstraction because it's hard to put abstract thoughts in a very structured emotion, and this one is a gold winner. Thank you very much for entering my contest, Blue. Well deserved.
Thanks, Belle. It's great to hear your voice again. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I'm going to get a comment from Kay.
Kay actually went to soak in the tub, so.
Okay.
Oh, I'm not jealous. It's fine.
I guess we'll throw Sweepy. You can you comment before we put yours up?
Yes, I think it's stunning, and amazingly. I mean, deep, the depth of this poem, as you dive into it, it just kind of makes your head spin. When you talk about first the imagery and then the thought process and the structure, and I mean, everybody's talked about how the words go together, but I'm just talking about the structure of the poem itself. I thought it was incredibly well done. And the imagery, the way the words are used, I love words like artesian fountains and curving light and pieces fall off fading and where's the other? Cathartic frostbite, brokenness passing places, pebbles skip surfaces. Reflections of lavender moons. There's just so many wonderful phrases in here. Kudos to all of that beautiful language.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And you are on the board, Sweet.
Thank you, everyone.
But thank you so much for coming to read and visiting us.
You're welcome. Have a good night, all. Appreciate it.
Night. Thank you.
You too. Good night.
Good night, Blue.
This is called Mundane Acts of Love, and this is really about not a day I seize, but seizing your days in general. Okay. Oreos and cupcakes mix for this weekend's movie night. Milk for the kids and almond milk for her and Tony. And more of that new dark coffee roast, so what was it called? Toilet paper and paper towels, dish soap and laundry soap. Ketchup, salsa, tuna, hamburger, pork chops, and Sunday roast. Food for the dog, the hamster, the cat, and the hummingbirds. Cursing the grocery gods for her daily trips to their altar. She faced the decision of self-checkout or service. She smiled, knowing the mundane act of shopping was done with love. Her last thoughts, she lay dying. This is dedicated to the victims of the Boulder shooting, March 22nd, 2021. Live your life in love.
Wow. You know, it's you started reading that list, and the word mundane actually jumped in my head when I'm, you know, toying around with what to say when you're done, and you know that definitely you definitely nailed that feeling that every day just, you know, this is the stuff that I go through, and the motivation behind it, I think is the beautiful part of this, you know, because you don't just do it because you have to do it, but you know that there's a sense of accomplishment in doing it, and a sense of purpose that you've also captured in this, you know. You're mentioning, you know, cat food, but you know, it's obvious that it's not about the cat. It's you know, because you've got the cats because you care about them. So you know that kind of filters in behind the thought of, well, you know, as a result of loving this cat, I have to get cat food. So you know, it really ties together beautifully. You did a great job with this, Sweet. I really enjoyed it a lot.
Thank you.
Let's start with Pretty Bird, please.
Oh, absolutely. So you're killing me just a little bit, just to put that out there. But I as you're reading, and I'm following along with these words, and it's a day like any other day, and it's so easy, like, you know, before we get to that ending, it's so easy to overlook all of the things that we kind of have to do, and we don't necessarily see as love, but they absolutely are. And I love how this highlights that, all the little things that, you know, that need doing so that you can support all of your loved ones and make sure that, that they're safe and they're fed and taken care of and on a daily basis, regardless of how mundane it may feel at times. But the end of this, to have it be that day and the last thought, and because you never know, is really profound. And is you kind of got me in the feels there, woman. So
yeah,
not bad for a few words.
Yeah, she's got that thought, you know, and I know you're kind of intimating it about, you know, when you leave the house, you make sure you say goodbye, or at least, or I love you, or kiss your husband, or whatever. Because you don't know if that's the last word you're going to say to them. Because, you know, how many times do you hear, you know, someone died in a car accident and the person that's left behind blubbering, the last thing I said to him was, you know, I wish you would die. You know, you really bring that idea of, you know, you may regret or you may not know into this as well. I'm going to stop because I'm starting to steal everything. Sorry. Stephen. Did I leave you anything to say on Sweet's poem?
Well, yeah. I mean, the things that we take for granted, you know, just the little things that we do for each other that are just always taken for granted and swept under the rug like they never happened. Yeah, you just never know what's waiting for you, even right behind your front door. This is a powerful right, Sweet, with a powerful message.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. So it's just the four of us now, right?
No, we have Bella.
You know, you make fun of sitting in the corner all quiet, Bella. You can make noise. Otherwise, I'm gonna. Are you in any rush, or are you gonna hang out with us tonight?
No, I'm hanging out. I'm going to chill in here.
Can
I make a comment on
Please.
Yeah, the reason why I was quiet because I read Sweet Pea's piece like 3 to 4 times, I think. And I stopped on the last stanza here. And I realized how painful that is to continue the usual routine, knowing at the back of your head something happened that broke us apart, you know. And I love going to the grocery store. And I've read the tragic scenario that happened in that spot, and it broke my heart because the youngest victim was, I think, like 20 years old, and one of the victims there was like the person who works actually in that place, and I can't condone during this kind of epidemic. There's still a lot of people trying to break broken hearts already, you know, and it's not easy to write for this one, like snatching everything that you can hold on to, Sweet, and then write a heartbreaking piece from a very heartbreaking story, and I commend you on that one. Thank you very much for sharing this one piece. It's a well-written piece.
Thank you. It's very close to my home.
Mm-hmm.
The cow part or the human?
The whole thing.
Stephen, you want to read for Kay?
She took hers off, so I put Steve up.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Thank you. And I'm getting up early, right, Stephen?
That's all right. Yeah, I definitely brought a day that I feel that I seized, did something that I would normally not have done since the first date that Kay and I were on was actually pretty much like a blind date, and that day was July 6th, 1996, which is what the title of the poem is. I woke up late, slept through the alarm, didn't want to miss our first date, thought my chances that would harm. I got up as quick as I could, got dressed, no time was left, threw a hat atop my head, a little cologne, the rest bereft. Drove to the place to meet, my anticipation grew, talked to you on the phone so much, your voice so well I knew. Haven't met you in person, but now your face I'll see, wondering what you'll look like and how you'll look at me. And there you were in the restaurant, all dressed up to the hilt. My eyes nearly flew out of my head, because Kay, you sure were built. 24 years later, you still look good, just as you did back then. My eyes pop out when I see you. To me, you are a 10. I often think back to our date. It lasted a whole day. By far the best gift I've received for any of my birthdays. End poem. And yeah, July 6th is my birthday as well.
That's awesome. And I'm imagining that's a true story because of what you just said. So, I mean, that adds an extra smile to this, I think, because, you know, we get to see the result every time you write for each other. I hope she's enjoying her soak, and I hope you're enjoying the view. this is beautiful, and you know, it's a fantastic story. You really put yourself out there, I guess. You know, after talking to someone on the phone and whatnot, when you finally decide that you're going to first meet, you know, all those butterflies and trepidation and everything. And you know, it's funny because, you know, when people talk about relationships and red flags, that's like the, you know, the biggest thing when you're moving too fast. It's like, you know, having never met the person and you're already going, oh, I love you, or, you know, oh my God, I would kill someone for you. It's like, why don't we wait until we meet before we start discussing hiding bodies? You know, and you know, you've got that sense of this is the fruition. This is the focal point where it's either going to turn to reality or fall to shit. And you did a great, fantastic job with this, Stephen. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you, Rick.
I'm not sorry that you missed it.
Before we get more comments, we have two callers. We have Hatter. Say hi, Hatter.
Hey.
What's up, Hatman?
Hi, Hatter. And Lady A just called in.
Hello.
But there she goes. Okay. Hi. All right. Continue with your comments.
Bella, I'm going to let you have the first comment on this one.
I think I remember Stephen was wrote a similar poem and about how him and Kay met. I think, if I am not mistaken, I love the last part here. I often think back to our date. It lasted a whole day. By far the best gift I've received for any of my birthdays. Sometimes the person that is for you, they come in a different ways. Like they may be not the one that we asked for, but they were given. And they stay longer. And I love and respect how you and Kay managed to go through the years and still, you know, with a very, very tight bind to each other. And that's the example of the pure and the love. This is just love. And I call them a face of love even before. Thank you very much, Stephen. I miss this poem.
Thank you, sister.
How about you, Sweet Pea? Did you throw up in your mouth a little?
I know. A whole lot. I think Stephen and Kay, they are like, their whole love story is a full book of imagery, and it's just to be published. The love story of Stephen and Kay. You know, I think it just should make a perfect little, you know, how to write your love story. And I think between their two poems, it should be just amazing. I mean, it goes from all these sweet, beautiful moments to some of the crazy moments into, you know, how to really make some great food and have all these double entendres. I love it. I think it should really be a book between the poems that I've read. And it's just another great poem about you and Kay. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks, Ian.
I guess love story's already taken, though, so we're going to have to come up with a new title.
Yeah. I'll think of something.
Come on! Yeah, hey, Hatter, did you want to say something on Stephen's phone before we go on?
Well, I sort of walked in when it was being read, but
okay.
Yeah, I want to. We've always painted a good visual of Kay and what's your name again, Stephen and Andrew Kay? Yeah, the reading poetry, winds in the hair, chocolate cake, you know, all the maps.
Little ukulele.
Good to know it's out there.
A little ukulele. No. I'm not going to go there. I'll leave that one go. Never mind.
Chips on through the tulips.
No.
All right. Are you in a rush? Are you going to hang up?
I don't know when I'll be being called, so it could be next minute.
Do you want to read yours next? You know.
Sure. I'll do that. Hi, Bella.
Hola, Hatter.
And you are on the board, Hatter.
Okay. Sure, then I touch the screen. I was trying to write a clever little bit and it ended up like this. See my way, stay at school. It took a week and a month for me to seize the day. The morning of the one I chose, it went the other way. Started with a search of keys lost the night before. Wasn't long before it was a knocking at my door. My rent was due. I had no cash. The landlord was not amused. I told him, carpe diem, my friend. What is there to lose? I said I will return to pay my rent. I hadn't seized the day. Did not speak in foreign tongues, so I was on my way. I made it to the carpe diem, the dollar machine in Reno. No time to spare. My derriere was headed for my casino. Or the casino. A huge machine with giant arms was going to be good. I'll pull as long as it will pay. No worries where I stood. An hour in, it was at its max, just waiting for it to hit. A crowd was gathered to watch me spin or watch me hit the bricks. Then the sounds of ringing bells and a carpet down tune. I paid my rent for the grocery suite and stayed for 3 more days. Kind passion hiding out, that whisper sees the day.
Wow. I don't know why. This made me think of the Bachelor movies. The what's his name? And oh, my God. the bunch of them just running around. And
Hangover movies.
Thank you, the Hangover movie. Yeah. It just had that feel to it that you know, I'm gonna go out and take my last dollar and throw it in the slot machine and just, you know, I got to pay the rent, so you know, daddy needs a new pair of shoes and it just had that fun feeling to it that you know, it is what it is, and I'm going to, you know, take my chance and watch it pay off. And it did, you know, it almost because you willed it or it felt like that. I enjoyed it, Hatter. What'd you think?
I like this. I actually got a different image in my head that I'm putting in my comment because I heard George Thorogood, you know. She said, I don't believe you're trying to find no job. I saw you just the other day leaning up against a post. Right?
Yeah.
I said, but I'm tired. I like this a lot. Yeah. Here. I did not expect it to go the direction it went. I think my favorite line is, I told him, carpe diem, my friend, what was there to lose? This is really cool.
Yeah, it got better than to death.
But, you survived.
And it never happened. This rarely ever happens as a stage goal.
Bella, do you believe him? You believe him when he says it barely happened, Bella?
I'm
a bad luck when it comes to that. I remember I used to go to, I told Ralph that, hey, no, because I saw that he was putting a lot of money in it, and then I wanted to stop him. And then he told me, that's a bad luck. And I said, well. So he laughed. And then I just said, well, that's how it is. But, yeah, this one made me laugh, and it took me back to my ex-mother-in-law's gambling days where they would always touch me, and also my mom, and said, you're lucky, you're lucky, you're lucky. And I said, oh, my, I'm not even half of that. But this one is good. Hada, seize the day, Hada, indeed.
Yeah, stay in school. Never bet scared money.
Yeah.
What'd you think, sweet?
I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. And I especially loved, without a doubt, his author's notes where it says, this never happens, stay in school. That was great. But, of course, I love the rhyme, and I just love his attitude because I can just hear him kind of like, yeah, whatever, just what I'm going to do. Hey, yeah, stay in school, man. Just, I don't know. He just kind of has that laid-back jazz man attitude, and I just kind of hear the sarcasm, and I love that about you, Hatter. Just loved it.
Thank you.
Hey, Steven, are you gone yet, or did you have something you wanted to plug?
He had to go. He said goodnight on the board.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm saying goodnight, too.
All right, so did you want to plug your show for Thursday, sweet?
Yes, Thursday night, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to welcome spring, bring the smells, bring the flowers, bring the imagery. Come welcome spring. Let's shed the smell of winter from our skins and just enjoy the lightness and the brightness. So come on by, and sweet discussion is all about spring. The new, bring something new, bring something fresh.
And that's
bring
Thursday.
Happy. Thursday night.
Spring cleaning. All right.
Yep.
Have a good night, sweet.
Good night, guys.
Good night, sweet.
Good night, everybody.
Okay. You want to put Bella up next, or?
Sure. Give me one moment.
I was writing for
booth?
You, actually, Rack. But with no luck.
I have you up on the board, Bella.
Thank you very much. And this one is Love's Metaphor and Epistle. That's a love letter, I think. Love, which metaphor will best describe you? Let me think of ways, and I promise I will try harder this time. Can I simply say that the heart is not a very good metaphor they use to paint you? it's funny when how they describe love to me and how love is, because to be honest, I seriously don't get it. Most of the time, I don't. I have spent my glorious time studying about body parts and organs and the possible symptoms each one can seriously feel whenever a negative aura penetrates the flesh. Trust me when I say they fascinate me. Then I remember someone made a statement, love is weakening. It can give tingling sensation, and sometimes it can make us experience difficulty speaking. They stutter, I know that kind of illness. It is called loss of muscle tissue. I can never consider shrinkage as love, can you? To breathe is love. Just like healthy breathing lungs, we cannot inhale 100% oxygen for a long period of time, as it will give us negative side effects. Just like love, too much will become harmful for us. It is best to receive enough amount of the concentration. A reduced saturation is acceptable to inbreathe for a longer time. Lesser risk, and as per science, lesser adverse effects. Then I thought about something else, my love. You are like an endless thirst. No matter how much you I have devoured, you still feel like a tumbleweed scratching the back of my throat, creating a bolus of an urge to swallow every part of you so as to be my personalized fountain of views. You, love, yes, you. Thus, you are my ecstasy, my delirium, my euphoria, my good orgasmic pant. Whenever I fondle your flesh in my thoughts, you are the goosebumps on my nape to the very last tip of my toes, the one I will eternally allow to lick my detailed edges until your sweet dew will learn to pronounce my given name. And you tingle, and I am smitten, and we amalgamate. Then I became an immortal, a poetry carved on love's spine, pregnant with blossoming thoughts like 100,000 dandelions I cupped by the hands. Then I learned to whisper unto the air, love, you are the litany I feed my soul every given hour. I will never get tired of being fed by your bliss until there is only you crawling in my veins, until there is only you dripping from my tear ducts, until the last sound of the astronomical clock calls, love. You are the most beautiful abstract I painted in millions of metaphors. With all I have, with all my might, with all that I am, is spelled and phone and better.
You took a deep breath to that one, huh? That was cool, Bella. I love the descriptions that you use. There's a couple of things that really grabbed at me. I mean, this is just beautiful. For some reason my head, I don't know. I liked it a lot. The imagery was gorgeous. The emotion behind it was there. The tears and the kissing and all of that was just beautiful.
You stuttering, that means you love.
yeah, exactly. Oh, it just was so good to hear you read again. It's been so long. I like the scolding. The scolding is going down verse to verse. There's so much here. You get clinical too with the heart. You describe the heart, how vulnerable it is, and then you get into the statistics. 100% of anything, 100% oxygen, 100% of anything will kill something.
Thank you very much, Hazard.
I'm pretty very difficult.
So tonight is the night of spoken words. Sky brought one too, so I'm absolutely loving it. I have a thing for that type of poetry, and I love how you go through the good of the things, the normal. I'm going to say normal in finger quotes, or the usual metaphors that people say. You know, you have my whole heart. You are my air. And you're like, you know, that's all well and good, but this is that, and this is this, and that's just not good enough. And I kind of really love that you give the reasons why, you know, it sounds good on the surface, but really it's not. I can be better. There's got to be something better. And you do. And when you get down to, you know, and you tingle, and I am smitten, and I became an immortal, and all the way through to the end of that is, you know, all of these things that are beautiful as they are aren't good enough. But here, I offer you this, and I just found that to be amazing. I had to save it.
Thank you very much, Pretty Bird.
Oh, you're welcome, Bella.
Gorgeous piece. And I think I need to put you on the spot, Pretty Bird.
Well, Lady A is with us. I'm not sure if you heard me introduce her earlier.
She snuck in with Hatter, and I even said Canada in the house, and oh my goodness, I'm so sorry, Lady A.
That's okay.
How
you're
are
busy.
You?
I've been listening, so it's all good. And Bella, Miss Bella.
Hi, Mama.
It's so good to hear your voice and to read you on the radio like this. You know, you are and always have been a spectacular writer. And this is a beautiful piece, one of many that you write. And I love the verse when you say, love, you are my ecstasy, my delirium, my euphoria, my good orgasmic pant whenever I fall into your flesh in my thoughts. You are the goosebumps on my nape, to the very tip of my toes. It's just a really descriptive and beautiful piece of literature, poetry. It's wonderful to see you back again.
Thank you, Mama. 100% by trying.
Yeah. So great.
Thank you, Lady A.
You're welcome.
All right. Pretty Bird.
You can put me up. I can read if you want. We do still have some SoundClouds to go through as well. Don't want to leave those out. Let me go ahead.
I put one in the room, too.
I
put one in the topics. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, you're good.
Thank you.
So where did I put mine? Here it is. Okay.
I hit the link.
Oh, you're already... Well, you're just faster than me. Okay.
Well, I knew I was going to ask you.
This is a little vignette. It is in the wind, in public, wherever the heck I want. And it goes like this. Dancing naked by the light of the moon, I watch my reflection swirl in the window, taking my time, bathing in the moonlight, feeling the cool wind blow my hair in spiral ribbons of liquid night. Keep your clothes on, but don't get mad when I won't let you watch. Screaming into the ocean as it swallows the sound, frustration evaporates in the full body flexion of a primal howl. Anxiety ain't got nothing on the catharsis of release. Crazy is as crazy does, understanding that normal is crazy, and insanity is where no one reins it in for the benefit of others. He snapped my spirit in silence, so I cried, and he laughed, and I laughed, and he yelled, so I yelled, and he cried for having changed what he thought he loved. He called me crazy. He called me a liar. I called him a cab. Throwing my anger into the ocean keeps my mind clear and my body away from meds. Keep yours to yourself and I'll keep mine off your shoulders. I cry at movies and stream tears in my perception of your pain. You laugh because you're tired of crying. Snorting at piggies makes me happy. Singing loudly any place I go makes me fearless. And just because you don't has no bearing on who I am. Maybe you should scream at the ocean or dance naked in the moonlight. Try singing loudly in public and see who you are when you let it all go. End poem.
I love the way you express yourself. You've got a combination of emotion and total loss of inhibition in this, combined with such real exchanges. That little snippet of the argument between the two, where the reactions changed. You know, the screaming and laughing and between each other was just so relatable. This whole piece is just it speaks to expressing yourself to me and to the knowledge that you're not going to get what you want if you don't reach for it or try. It feels relatable and comfortable at the same time is beautiful. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you. Thanks, I appreciate that. Hatter had to drop for a minute. He said he's going to try to call back before the show's out.
Yeah, I kind of saw that flash by real quick. So, we've got Lady A still. If you want to comment for Pretty Bird, please.
Well, I thought that you had little bits of humor, but it was there was a the last part of it. I became very, I don't want to say dark because it wasn't dark, but I thought it was really brilliantly written, but I thought that you kind of told it like it was, you know. There was a line though I'm looking for. Because, let me see. Singing loudly any place I go makes me fearless. Just because you don't has no bearing on who I am. It's like you have taken a stand and you stand tall in the person that you are, and nobody's going to shake that from you. And I thought it was really, really good.
Oh,
you
thank
laugh
you.
Because there it is. There, you laugh because you're tired of crying. That's a beautiful line right there. And very relatable.
Oh, thank you.
Really great.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That was a very there's a lot in that line, you know. So thank you. I'm glad
yeah.
You liked it.
And Bella, you get the last comment.
All right.
I loved how she sounded when I was lost in between her voice when she was reading it. And I don't know why, maybe the tone that made this more, the piece more impactful, simple, yet very, very touching. Where is that line that I like? Okay, I kind of smiled. Well, no. Chuckled a little when you said he called me crazy, he called me a liar, I called him a calf. Well, not because I enjoyed that part, no. It's because I sensed the strength in her. You know, how many of us can really let go just like that? You know, sometimes we cling on to something and then we ponder and then we try to give another chance, another chance, and another chance, and another chance. But in this part, no, she didn't. And then after that, I realized as she go on and on with the poem, the liberty and the freedom from that kind of being caged or being held that way is there. And then she appreciate that moment when she said that singing loudly any place I go makes me fearless. I yell out loud just to make my note myself, you know, tell myself that I am fearless. And maybe you should scream at the ocean or dance naked in the moonlight. In this part, she don't care anymore. She just want to be happy. She just want to keep on going and going and going and then keep this freedom for herself. You know, being free to the things that you do, just like in this kind of piece, is not bad at all. It means loving yourself more. I am commending this poem, and not very easy to write what you feel and then share it to a lot of people and then what you really want to do. This one is lovely piece. It's a lovely one.
Yeah,
I wish I could
you.
Be strong as this one.
Aw. I'm sure you're stronger than you realize. You know, it takes a lot. Everybody has their own trials and tribulations, and, you know, each one of them takes strength to go through, and to smile every day sometimes it takes a lot, is all I'm saying.
Okay. Amen.
It takes a lot.
So back.
And I hope I will find my way.
Oh, I'm sure you will. But Iraq is surrounded by ladies.
Did you just put up RS, or did I do
I
that?
Did.
Yeah, okay. That was the next one I was going to ask for. Lady A, you've got a show coming up, if I'm not mistaken?
Tomorrow evening, yes. And it's Sky, Dark Home, and I are together tomorrow evening, and it's the show is about art and the artists, and there are picture prompts. There are little bits, bios on each artist. And I invite you all to join us tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern, an early time, and come and have some fun.
That sounds awesome. We got RS up next. Would you mind reading for him, Lady A?
He's got
sure.
a SoundCloud. Oh,
yeah, usually.
I missed that one.
I loaded it. You're good.
All right, then.
So
thank
I'm
you.
Gonna go. You're welcome. And here we go.
Reaching old age, not for the young. Watching television, not a story. Long naps, nothing to write home about. Need experiences for your inventory. Down the Chattahoochee we went. 100 hours in labor we spent. Set off down the river we go. All day we fought that river's flow. Put the newborn down to sleep. Climbed the railing for my bicycle to keep. Told the wife, grab the baby out the front door. Knocked that crazy SOB off the second floor. Mechanic worked on the Cessna for flight. Test hop needed, I accepted the invite. Landing gear went up, not down. Was a celebrity at the restaurant downtown. Astride the bike on a cold day, into my lane he went astray. Against the bridge railing down I went, laid up in the hospital 2 days I spent. Left Guatemala, headed north at night. First the left one out, then the right. Headed for Cozumel over thick cloud, a landing that made us all proud. Departure from the island of Guam. Both right tires blew, sounded the bomb. Struggled to keep it under control. Music does not define rock and roll. Heater in the plane bid adieu. Toes and fingers now turning blue. Not very ladylike for a bit, but it flew. When it's that cold, you do what you gotta do. On the chopper down US-1, life was fine. Slowed for the light, stopped on a dime. Forks now embedded in the spoke. That's all, folks. Front axle just broke. Life made to live it, not sit it. Some days are tragedies, some are glories. But in the end, though, when all alone, all you really have are your stories.
Huh? That was kind of cool. A little adventure, huh? A trip around the world day by day, I guess. Calling attention to the fact that it could end at any minute. You never know. The blown tires and things like that. It kind of makes you think. You know, life is fleeting. Life is, I guess, a gamble. interesting poem, and thank you for sharing it with us. Let me get you a couple of comments. Lady A, I almost got you to read it.
And with a quick interruption, let's say hi to Deb. Hey, Deb.
Deb Lee.
Hi, Deb.
Hello.
Hi, Deb.
Bella. Hi.
Hi.
Okay, Lady A, your turn to comment.
I love his stuff, and I love the storytelling, and his, I'm sure he has, well, he does have all kinds of stories to tell with his history as a pilot, and I really find it interesting when he does write, and I really like this one. It gave you a taste of some exciting times in his life and unexpected things, and I really... I very much liked it. He's. I hope he calls in one day because he is a very interesting writer. There's no flowers and that sort of thing, but he comes across as very learned, I guess you could say, and I enjoy that part of his writing. He's an intelligent writer and is not pretentious at all. I really like it.
Thank you, Lady A. And Bella, what'd you think?
You know, the background music, it reminded me of 007. I don't know why I was, like, imagining it. Maybe I'm imagining a lot of things lately.
It made me think of the 60s, so 007's a little more recent.
Yeah, it made me think about that way, and then I was like thinking probably this person was wearing like bell button jeans, you know, or you know, pants and so on. Okay, so what I like about the poem, the background, and more of the last stanza, life made to live it, not sit it. Some days are tragedies, some are glories, but in the end, though, when all alone, all you really have are your stories, which I strongly agree, and I am so in love in that part, because no matter how many people witnessed how you lived your life, there's only you can really tell the exact detail of what happened to you or what made you become that way. And I always keep that in my mind, that no other person can tell you how to tell you, but there's only you. I love this one. Wow, and his voice, amazing. Mm. It's the first time I read about him, and the first time I heard him. So yeah, this one is amazing.
Thanks, Belle. And Pretty Bird, you get the last comment.
Well, this is also my first experience, both with his writing and his SoundClouds, and I think I missed the entire first two stanzas because I was just like, whoo, because, you know, I got a little swoony. That voice is something else. It's all deep and smooth, and it's like music. It just kind of lulls you. It's just like, oh, that's just fabulous. And before I get into the poem, I just noticed his little blurb on the side, which cracks me up. It says, my poems are stories that rhyme. I just don't do water lilies glistening from translucent moonbeams, casting starry shadows on iridescent droplets kind of poems. I love that. It's like, he says, like, you know, no purple prose here. This is what you're going to get. And what we got was each verse is a completely different snapshot. And through all of these little bits of, well, unfortunateness, you know,
yeah.
they're vivid,
yeah.
They're detailed. It's like little, like mini film shorts, each one. And, but they're not told in doom and gloom kind of darkness. They're just kind of matter of fact. These are my, you know, little life stories. And his positive attitude at the end is just wonderful. He's like, you know, basically when you live it, you kind of get what you get, but you're out there doing it. You're not watching it pass you by, which is very much seized the day. And so I was completely enthralled. And I'm going to have to listen to that recording quite a few more times. I'm just saying.
Thank you for sharing that. But what was his last name? It wasn't
Morris.
Stein. It was
Morris.
Morris. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. I'll be dropping comments on everything. If you guys get a chance afterwards, the topic board's just going to stay up. So share some love on some of the poems if you get a chance. Everybody appreciates that. Deb, how you doing tonight? Put you on the spot.
Hanging
a little
in there.
Bit.
How you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay. You know, I'm up. And we're going through a couple of great poems about Seizing the Day. We had a bunch of callers earlier on, as you probably heard. Hatter was here. He had a drop a little bit ago, but I guess if you want, we could put you up next if you're in a hurry.
Whatever works.
Give me 1 second.
I got it.
Okay. Oh, you're all right then. Fine.
This time.
It's just like lightning tonight.
Quick draw. Okay. I use this as an opportunity to jump up on a soapbox, and it's called Seizing the Days to Change the World. Here we go. To tally the lights and not the shadows, grab that ring made of polished brass, perfume the spring breeze blows, dancing barefoot in rain on the grass. Grab that ring made of polished brass, smile to flip every frown upside down, dancing barefoot in rain on the grass that adds the colors, blanketing brown. Smile to flip every frown upside down, plant trees and flowers over the land that adds the colors blanketing brown and lends the mother of earth a hand. Plant trees and flowers over the land, sniff perfume the spring breeze blows and lends the mother of earth a hand to tally the light and not the shadows. End poem.
Wow. I like what you did with this, you know, and you're calling it a soapbox. It's very reflective of what's going on around us and everything. That idea of the brass ring, it's definitely something that pops into the back of my head when you talk about seizing the day, you know, grabbing that brass ring and they say going for it, you know, the history behind that, there was literally a brass ring and a merry-go-round, and you're supposed to try and grab at it as you go past.
Absolutely.
And the one that grabs the brass ring wins. If I'm not mistaken, that's where that comes from. This is just, you know, beautiful with your colors and everything, Deb. I really appreciate it, and I'm glad you got a chance to bring that tonight. Let's start some comments from Lady A, please.
Thank you, Rick.
Well, I love the poetry form that you used, and you're brilliant at that, and I thought that the content was very important, and we need to hear more about how to be, you know, how to live our lives and being kinder all the way around kind of thing. And there's, you know, it's not a soapbox because I think we need to have more of people caring to make those changes that are necessary to have a happier world. Well done.
Yeah.
Thanks, sis.
You're welcome.
And Bella, can you comment for Deb?
Mm-hmm. You know, Deb's before my place. I have to ask and bug my mom to plant me something, in that way it can look peaceful, because when you have like brownish long, it doesn't look like very enticing to the eyes and very not calming. But then lately, as I have myself in quarantine a lot, I started planting this kind of plant, which is what they call collier. And it has 73 kinds of varieties in it, and I already have 37 of that, 37, 38. something like that. And my mom asked me, why do you plant this kind of plant? And they're colorful, they're beautiful, but, you know. And I told her, you know, look, this is not just a plant. They are herbs. And whenever I feel like my head is hurting, all I have to do is pick one and then heat it up, warm it up a little, and then put it on my head. Or when I'm starving, I can pick one and then just eat. If only people will know the benefits of them, then they will not have a hard time, you know, thinking about what to do when they're feeling such. The reason why I'm sharing this, because that's what Dev's placed in here. This is a day to help save the earth. Tomorrow isn't promised. So what I'm doing is what is Deb's actually wrote in here. And I loved hearing Deb's do that. Right now it's not very easy to feel comfort or what do you call this one? Calm aura, and you, especially when you are surrounded with people who are very, very sick, which I am lately, and I am myself too. But hearing her blanket every thought of her with such a promise made me smile because it gave me hope. Thank you very much, Debs, and I miss how you read your poems. Thank you.
Thank you, Bella, and I miss you all together. I'm so happy you're here.
I am too.
I absolutely love this. It's a beautiful pantoum. It's just in time for spring because I don't know about y'all, but I live in Florida and I've had enough of winter. And I can't imagine you guys that actually get snow. And like it's I'm not a very cold hardy sort, but it's just now around here, even though it's a lot warmer than other places, the field by my house has this blanket of wildflowers, you know, regular weeds, but they're beautiful to see on this little hill. And it makes me really, really happy. The only thing blooming, because, you know, Florida is not the prettiest in the winter. There's, you know, there's some things that are green, but otherwise things, they don't even look like they're like winter dormant. They just look like they're just not living at all. And because there's no snow or no real winter. So it just looks like they do when they burn up in the summer. But I love the way this feels that, you know, and we do have to do our share to keep things, to keep the earth a healthier place. And so your picture has this beautiful garden. And I literally have a book of graph paper of all these different types of plants and all these different shapes of little garden areas that one day I may actually plant. But I have collected this. This is like what I do when I am in the winter doldrums before spring. I plan what my yard will look like in a dream. And I have yet to plant anything quite that beautiful, though, because I do not have green thumbs of any sort, but I love that this is a plant, a pantoum. You do them wonderfully. They flow so well. And this actually felt like spring, which is lovely.
Thanks so much, Pretty Bird.
You're welcome.
And I think we can do my audio next.
Sure. Oh, well, all right. You're there again. I suppose I should just check first. You're fine. And here we go.
Wordsworth by Raconteur. I live in solitude, wrapped in darkness and silence. Mine are the rantings of an overclocked mind. Your eyes are the only thing to impart life to my words and lend a voice to any truth within them you find. Stripping me of my armor, tearing down my walls, reminding me what it means to be alive, inspiring me to grab the world by the balls. Careening headlong into the unknown, soaring higher with every breath, until the world becomes bored with my words, and I fall to certain death. I continue to bleed emotions onto the page, pondering which is the more poetic demise, exsanguination or plummeting to earth. Waiting for the inevitable, I have every tick of the clock to agonize. Like a tree that falls in the forest, if there's no one to hear what I have to say, there's no reason to worry about tomorrow. It'll be as if I never existed anyway. End poem.
You know, this one a little different than I thought it would at the end there, Rack. Usually I can kind of see that coming. First with the title, I love the Wordsworth and, you know, kind of play on that, which is awesome because, you know, clever. But you start with the solitude wrapped in darkness and silence and the rantings of an overclocked mind, which is absolutely relatable. And there's the beauty in your eyes are the only thing to impart life to my words and lend a voice to any truth within them you find. And, you know, because if whoever reads your words then feels your words and breathes life into the words, and I love the idea of that. I absolutely ascribe to that. And so you go through all of this, and at the very end, you know, when you're pondering which is the more poetic demise, it broke me a little bit. And when you get to that last line or the last verse, you know, if there's no one to hear what I have to say, there's no reason to worry about tomorrow. It'll be as if I never existed anyway. And the idea of that hangs there. It just kind of lingers like right in front of your face, like in the middle of your feelings. It's like a well-placed ending that just sits heavy and familiar, like uncomfortably familiar. So that's kind of awesome. And Deb, what are your thoughts on Rex's poem?
Well, you know, the thing about these poems from the Hurt Locker is they kick my ass, for one. And as you sit there and read and you say stuff like, I continue to bleed emotions on the page, pondering which is more poetic demise. Back further, where was it? Stripping me of my armor, tearing down my walls, reminding me what it means to be alive, inspiring me to grab the world by the balls. Well, when we were in that stanza, I was like, okay, you know, he's going to grab it. And then instead, we went plummeting deeper and deeper into the sorrow and the sadness and the pain. And it was like, Jesus, and by the time we get to there's no reason to worry about tomorrow, it'll be as if I never existed anyway. I just want to cry. Really, really freaking powerful emotions in here, as always. Again, I say the Hurt Locker's going to get me one day.
Thanks, Deb.
And Bella, what are your thoughts?
You know, what I love about Rack, when he writes emotion, he really gets into the deeper or the depth of his emotion and then put everything in there without inhibition, without stopping him. And that's the power of your words, Rack. And it lingers inside those who can really understand what you are trying to put in there. But to those who just, what we call the passerby, they just have you read a book and then you just glimpse and then after that you explain and then after a while you forget everything and then even your explanation. That's what I call the passerby. And they don't put away on me, especially when they do that, because I have less people that really values my words, but then again, they value. That's the correct. That's the most important part of it. Value. But I have a lot of people just pass by, gives me a command me, and after that, everything will be gone. So it's same with life. People will come back, come to you. and then you wait until one really until time will reveal who values you more. And then I felt the sadness in that part, the heaviness of your emotion, but I always tell myself, well, this is very, very sad, but sadness is a very, very good tool for you to write what you have inside, and you just don't care. You don't care what others will think of it, because this is you. I love it, Rack. You're amazing when it comes to that, and you always remember this. You will never perish that easily, especially when you touch a lot of people already. No, thank you for this.
Thanks, Bella.
And Lady A, your thoughts?
I'm just trying to get back to the place here. Sorry. Rack has his own gift, and I like this stripping me of my armor, tearing down my walls, reminding me what it means to be alive, inspiring me to grab the world by the balls. And I find that that verse there sums it up entirely. And sometimes we need someone to kick us in the ass to make us realize that no matter what our circumstances, life is still worth living and celebrating. I thought this was really great and done with the sensitivity that you're famous for, I'm going to say, in your poetry.
Thanks, Lady A. Appreciate that.
Back to you, Rack. We have Lady A's poem and Gerald Green's SoundCloud.
I was just going to say, if Lady A doesn't mind, let's hit the Gerald first.
Oh, I think we also have one more that needs to be read by KMBW, if I remember that right.
Yeah, Known by My Words, it's an acronym.
Oh, all right then. That makes it a whole lot easier. Okay, so you want Gerald up, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Quick
draw.
So
see that even
on the board?
You beat me.
Well, there you go. And so he is on the board, and let me know when you see him.
I got it.
All right, okay. Here we go.
Carpe Diem, written and read by Gerald Green. Seize the day, she said in hurried tones, as if I didn't want to carpe diem. I wasn't sure how to respond to the call to cherish moments or how to use them. One cannot argue with the pristine thought of going after what you want, achieving best results with what you have to give. It is a fact I know and do believe. While others work all day and stay up late, I fall asleep while watching my TV and go to bed by 9, 5 nights a week. So carpe isn't what I'm meant to be. Go seize if that is what you want to do and use each second to its full extent. Take control of all that comes your way and measure with precision how each minute's spent. But I am lazy. Have no energy to tackle projects in a zealous way, and so I amble, nap, and take my time, unwilling to rise up and seize the day. End poem.
Oh, lackadaisical. This is kind of what I was talking about in my write about, you know, Lady A grabbed the section where I went out of my shell. And described, you know, what not sitting on your ass looks like. And but the rest of the poem is very much what I felt like that would happen if you didn't, you know, seize the day, that, you know, it nothing else would really matter. You could sit there and shout at the moon. If nobody hears it, you know, you're not, you know, going out of your comfort zone and taking those chances, then, you know, you may as well not exist. So we've got opposing views, Gerald. But, you know, I understand the comfort and you know, all of that. I don't know, the phrase takes different people, I guess, in different directions, you know. It definitely means different things to different people. It's hard to not, you know, imagine what would happen if you did do it. But, you know, then there's the reality of, you know, well, that's just not me. I very much appreciate that in this right, you know, because that's the way it is. You know, it's like that happy person that's why don't you just smile? It doesn't cost nothing. You want to punch him in the mouth. You know, I know where this is coming from. You do. I just know you've had it. You've heard him. Anyway, I appreciate this, Gerald. Thank you for sharing it tonight. Let me get you a few comments. Is Deb still with us?
No, Deb had to drop, so it is Lady A, Bella, and moi.
was that you chuckling, Lady A? Can you start? Go ahead. What did you think of Gerald's piece?
Well, it kind of surprised me in a way, I don't want to use the word negative, but I guess if you could say it was sort of apathetic, you know, wasn't, you know, this is who he is kind of thing, and this is what was no big deal. His life was very comfortable, and he didn't have, I get out of this that he doesn't have the need to go out and conquer sailing or conquer sword fighting, or, you know what I mean, like he's very comfortable in his life, and not everybody needs to seize the day in that sense. However, I think there's, no matter how our lives are, I think there's always something we can find to do outside of our comfort zone to seize the day.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought.
It is.
I don't know.
I know people like that are very comfortable in their own little world. So, you know, and, you know, mutual respect for both sides, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely, but, you know, when your muscles atrophy from lack of use, you know, that's kind of what that makes me think of, and my father's favorite way of putting it, if you don't use it, you lose it, so, you know, all those things are wrapped up, I think, in that thought of, you know, grabbing the that brass ring that Deb wrote about. Bella, what did you think of Gerald?
Sometimes I wish I can do that, you know, just shut down everything and then, you know, not bum around, but lie down and care nothing about everything. But then again, it's not just me. It's not me. Every time I go from work, I have to turn on my computer and then still work until what time. But that's just me. But what I like about this poem is... person was able to share how life can be easy sometimes if you learn, if you know how to not mind or be bugged about everything that's going around you, then you can have your peace at that time. But yeah, I wish I can lay and then with no energy and not do things. I can just say, I see, I'm seizing the day this way. I'm just jealous, you know. I love it. Thank you. And it made me smile.
I think that's a different kind of OCD, people that look at something that needs being done and can't, like, leave it. You know, that was a game I used to play when I was married. You know, I know, you know, if I left it that, you know, she couldn't look at it and she would have to get up and take care of it. When we moved into my house, she was 9 months pregnant, ready to pop. And she looked at me and she said, every single one of these boxes have to get put away before we go to bed tonight. And you know, if you don't help me do it, I'm going to do it myself. So they all got put away before we went to bed. We were unpacked the day that we moved in, 9 months pregnant, ready to pop. But, yeah, some people just can't look at things that need to get done. And that's not so much seizing the day as taking care of your responsibilities. But, you know, that's kind of where I was going with that. Anyway, Pretty Bird, what did you think of Gerald's piece?
You know, this reminds me of that part in Dead Poets Society when he wants everybody to find their own gait, their own way of walking, their own whatever. And the guy's standing there leaning on the building. He's like, well, what are you doing? He's like, well, I'm exercising my right not to walk at all. And that's what this reminds me of, because there's a little bit of tongue-in-cheek. I don't know how close to reality it is, but I like this. Like, you know, just because you do doesn't mean I have to, you know, slow your roll. I'm good. And I think we've all had those days where there's absolutely other things we could be doing, but really, are we going to do them today? Never probably mind. Not. And on those few days where you decide not to tackle whatever it is you want to tackle, and somebody's like, get up, let's go. Yeah, you really do kind of want to throat punch somebody. So I absolutely understand that. But I enjoyed this. I liked this take on it. We haven't had one of these today. And so I really, really enjoyed this. Like, I'm going to take my nap. I'm going to take my time. You know, you can do all the season you want. I'm good the way I am. But thanks.
Oh, great piece, Gerald. I've dropped the last one on the board, KMBW.
KBMW.
Oh,
and then, Lady A is going to close us out.
Oh, okay. When he said the last one, I thought, wait.
And so who's reading this one?
If you don't mind, Pretty Bird.
Oh, sure. It's a sonnet. The bane of my existence, can't write them for the life of me. Okay, this is Life and Death, sonnet number 11. And it goes like this. Under the shadows, twilights of death's star, in skies stand above the cloak of lavender, inside the chambers of black lords' closed bar, no portraits, no lives for the next order. No muddy steps inside the doors of hell, death, the leveler breaks the empty glasses, the last one sank from the red blood shell, a note found called life under shallow masses. The wind dances among the leaves of orchids, the works of mirrors reflects the smiles of life. The empty bar rises high from love lids for soft petals soon murdered with a knife. The white shadow filtered from huts of skin, life and death are mysteriously kin. End poem.
Wow. I could never get sonnets straight for some reason. It's just beautiful. Kind of stark to me. I'm sitting here already thinking ahead to Lady A, though, so I did him a disservice. I'm going to have to reread this again. I'm sorry. Bella, can you comment, please?
Bella?
Can you get back to me? I'm trying to read. I'm so sorry. This got me, like, really speechless. But can you get back to me, though? Please, thank you.
If you're still here, we'll get back to you. Lady A, what'd you think?
I thought that her thought process, let me just get back at it here. It was very, very dark, and like the first verse, the third line, inside the chambers of black lords closed bar, no portraits, no lies for the next order. Like, that's really very dark, of the black lord meaning the devil, I'm assuming. No muddy steps inside the doors of hell. Death, the leveler, breaks and the empty glasses. This was really well written and very dark, and the white shadows filtered from huts of skin, life and death are mysteriously kin. Very, very interesting sonnet, and not spooky, but just really dark and eerie. Mm-hmm. Very well written, well done. That's for sure.
Thank you. Thank you, Lady A. Pretty Bird, what'd you think?
I enjoy this very much. I like the darkness in it. I love that last line. It's my favorite of the whole piece. And a powerful close. Life and death are mysteriously kin. They absolutely are. Let's see. I was looking at verse 2, with nobody steps inside the doors of hell. Death, the leveler, breaks the empty glasses. The last one sank from the red blood shell, a note found called life under shallow masses. Like, it was just, you know, squashed under there. And I really just enjoyed the imagery of this, and the romantic feel of a sonnet was well done. And I'm not sure which type of sonnet this was, because I wasn't counting iambs, or if it's Elizabethan or Italian or whatnot, but it flowed beautifully well, and it rhymed lovely. And I really enjoyed that last line a great deal. I was like, yes, yes, they are. So I thought that this was a job well done, and it was an honor to read.
Do you know the quote? As soon as you're born, you're moving towards death. Is that how it goes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was, like you said, that was a brilliant close for this. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, KBMH. KBMW.
But, you know, it's at what point, I mean, everybody's like, you know, when you're young, your whole life's ahead of you. And I can see that hump where, you know, you have the uphill and then you have the downhill. But that statement is right. With every breath from your first one on, you are moving towards death. And that is a somber way to look at life. But it doesn't mean it's wrong.
Well, I mean, that's kind of where the idea of seizing the day comes in too. You know, enjoy life because it's fleeting, or you never know when it's going to end. I mean, at least to me, that was the thought behind it. You know, it's true. Like she points out, every minute is you're moving, you know, that much closer towards death. But, you know, enjoy it while you can, I guess. The other, you know, sobering thought, you know, in relation to this whole thing, in the scope of, you know, the universe, some people believe that, you know, this life is only, you know, a blink of an eye, because, you know, eternity is forever. So, you know, when we're gone, it's going to be that much longer in the scope of time than the time we spent here. So, anyway, on that convoluted mess of nonsense, I'll put that. Put Lady A up on the board, and she can bring us back down. Oh.
Okay.
You know, I have to participate.
I wrote this tonight, and it's called Carpe Diem, and it's an acrostic for Carpe Diem. And it goes like this. Careless use of time wasted with wines, always complains, crying about life's plight, rarely looking up to see the brim-filled cup, pity parties, sings poor me sadness, a wailing banshee, engrossed, self-absorbed, nothing good can be told. Damn it, can't you see? Time is short, don't waste it, please. Important to cherish each moment lest you perish. Enjoy, enchant, enthrall, family, friends, and all. Memories are made today, precious, don't delay. Moods of black and blue will be the death of you. Sorry, that's a typo. Oh, that wrecked the whole thing, didn't it? Moods of black and blue will be the death of you.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's
being in a hurry and not editing your spelling and stuff.
Yeah. I get it though. And you know, again, that's kind of the message I was going for tonight. So this is a perfect one to close this out. And you know, they think the same in Canada as they do in the States. Look at that.
We really do. It's not a whole lot of difference except your health care, you know?
Or lack thereof, cough, cough, sputter, sputter. But, you know, we're not going to talk about religion or politics.
No. They're
verboten. Nine. No religion, no politics. This was nice, though, lady. It really was. You know, and you know, and acrostic is always fun when it reads well. You know, and it's not one of those that you know, the thing that irritates me. That was, I didn't realize it irritated me until someone pointed it out. It's when people try and make it into an acronym. It's like you could kind of write it like an acronym so that it reads like a sentence, but it doesn't feel the flow like this. This feels right, and I enjoyed it.
Thank you very much.
Bella, what'd you think?
I love this kind of write. Thank you very much, Mama A, for this. And what I like is here. Just give me a moment. Important. Damn it, can't you see? Time is short. Don't waste it, please. Important to cherish each moment lest you perish. Enjoy, enchant, and for all family, friends, and all. Memories are made today. Precious, don't delay. Okay, so a lot of people ask me how come I don't come in to the show that often or the much anymore like before, right? Mm-hmm. And I just smile and then just keep quiet about it. The reason why I don't do shows that much anymore, and I try to stay away from opening Opoetry that much because I don't know how much time I have left in me, and I want to share it with people who are closer me, I mean physically, because we are trying to create memories together. And not because I want to be sad with them, no, because that's not allowed. But I want to create something that they will always remember of. And if I pass this scenario in my life, then I can have something to share with to the ones, for example, if heaven up for bed, for children, that, hey, I've gone through all this, and I was able to create memories while I was battling with it, and I was able to make it. And that's the reason why I don't do shows that much anymore. It's not because of I don't like it. It's because I lack memories, you know, and I want something to share to people that, hey, I've been here before, and I made a lot of friends there. And now I created memories with real people who are surrounding me, not only to those people who are far away from me, but it is people surrounding me, and that's the pressure. I love that part, Mama, I really do, and made me really not guilty of not going in most of the time because I'm forgetting. No, because some of them are thinking I'm forgetting, but no. But thank you very much, Mama. I appreciate this a lot, and it's written in that manner. I cannot do that, and you nailed it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. You know, Bella, I listening to your voice has really. I mean, we've talked on the phone a little bit, and I respect your privacy, and you know, I know how you feel about certain things and support you in all of it. And I just really miss you, listening to your poetry and your beautiful voice and your beautiful self. So stay
away
from
Thank you, Mama. No. No.
Thank you for joining us tonight. I feel blessed that you showed up for me. And even if it wasn't for me, shut up. Thank you.
Yeah.
Pretty Bird, you can have the last comment on Bella's poem, and then I'll try and say thank you to everybody, despite my aversion to trying to say thank you to everybody, because I'm always going to leave someone out. I know it.
Well, it's Lady A's poem, but that's okay. I know you knew that. And first, I want to say to Bella that I will keep you in my prayers. And, you know, you need to prioritize, you know, you. And there is no shame in that. There should be no guilt in that. You know, we all have to do what we have to do. And you're doing it for the best reasons possible to create things that last. And with that wonderful positive attitude, hoping for the best. So, you know, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I'll definitely keep you in my prayers for whatever it is that you are going through. And Lady A, your last line of this, moods of black and blue will be the death of you. I have a love affair with this, with the concept of this. I tend to be of the shadows. So I can attest to the fact that it is not the best place in which to dwell. But, you know, we all are who we are. We process how we process, and there's nothing wrong with any of it. But this speaks to me of, you know, joy is fleeting. And I don't know why it is that joy comes in little bits, regardless of how high the highs are. And, you know, pain, sadness, and, you know, all those shady emotions that we wish didn't linger tend to get their hooks in us, rub into our pores, and just kind of leach in for like the long haul. And if we can climb out of the lesser shadows, because, you know, the deep ones take some doing, and, you know, what a wonderful rebirth you give yourself moment by moment to be able to see that blue sky and that came after the rain that just fell, instead of just complaining that everything's all wet. So I really love the positivity in that.
Thank you.
You're
you know, you write stuff like that and it's cathartic for you, because I've been going through a really black time in my life, and you know, it's a reminder for myself, too, you know, to get with the program, you know.
Well, hopefully it helps, because I know for me and for a few others, putting it on paper enables us to let go of it. And, you know, like Deb says, you know, the stuff kicks our ass or whatever. It's anything that you read that feels like it's deeply emotional from me, means that I don't have to carry it anymore, because I put it on that page and kind of let it go. And, you know, it helps me. I mean, it's never completely gone, but it's how I tend to deal with it. And, you know, the hope, I'm sure, like other people, is that someone's going to read it and relate to it, and it may help them, you know, deal with it, you know, or they may recognize something in it that they didn't realize before. And, you know, hopefully something positive comes out of it. So, anyway, thanks all for hanging out and spending time. I'm going to try. let's see. I'd like to thank Deb for making all this possible. And the rest of the board, minus one, wrote for us tonight. We had Deb, we had a Hatter, and we had Sweet Pea. Thank you all again for your support and making all this possible. Team of Voices is on allpoetry.com. It's free to join. Check us out. Yada, yada, yada. thank you, Lady A. I'm sorry I tripped all over you tonight. First I forgot about you. Then I started calling other people. No, I guess I'm just not used to having you on the show or whatever. Even though, you know, I know you as well as I do. You know, we hang out every once in a while on the boards and chit chat back and forth. It's not like I don't know you. It's just, I don't know, some mental. I guess because you walked in behind Hatter, I just kind of forgot. And I did the same thing to Bella too, if that's any consolation. I don't know how many poems I read before. Pretty Bird's like, you know, Bella's here. I'm like, oh, yeah. Sorry, Bella. She used to say, you know, sitting quietly in the corner, because, you know, everyone would make fun of her because she'd jump up and down all enthusiastically how she wants to comment and make her memories. And, you know, sometimes, thank you so much, Bella. I really, really appreciate you showing up. And Pretty Bird for helping me out and being my eyes and helping me drop poems and answer the door. And, call me when I do forget that I've got people that are supporting me and not calling on them like I should. It's, trust me, it's not intentional. I know
you
it doesn't help.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Maybe. But anyway, thank you, Gerald and Xylophone Blue. You guys wrote for me, and Stephen and Kay. Thanks, Kay, for soaking in the tub. I'm sure you inspired Stephen to write some great stuff. who else am I forgetting?
Sky.
It's KBMW, known by my words. Thank you also for writing for us and forcing changing your name to that acronym that nobody's ever going to remember, because it's easier to say than known by my words, but everyone remembers known by my words, damn it. Be yourself. we do appreciate you, though. That was great. And what was the RS person?
RS
who had
Morris.
The great RS Morris. And
with the voice.
I think that, yes, with the, that you're going to listen to again and then again.
Did you mention Sky? Because she stopped by.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Sky, for staying up past your bedtime to hang out with us for a few minutes. Greatly appreciate everybody for your time, because, you know, that is a gift that you don't get back. And, I'm glad that you chose to spend it with us, and I hope you enjoyed what came out of my mouth. Everybody have a great night.
Night, thank
good
you.
Good night.
Night, everyone.
Good night, Dr. Night, Freddy, Bud, and Mama A.
Good night.
Night.